instead of one passage of Scripture, as you can see in your worship folder, if you have one, and if you don't, I'm sorry. There are four evangelists to speak to us this evening. Before we begin, shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for the sense of your presence, for the privilege of worship. We thank you for the challenge of your word. As we look down across this week, we realize that just a little over a week from now, this special emphasis will be history. We pray that you'll help us as we look into this week to be open to your word. And we pray that you'll speak to this heart, speak to me. And may I find your will. May we all know what you want us to do this week. Set us on a new plateau, we pray. Give us new insights, new vistas. New challenge. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. At the risk of being thought superficial this evening, I would like to take a single word from each of the four evangelists as a summary of what they might have said if they were preaching a sermon to you in the flesh. Now, don't think that this one word summarizes the gospel, or that even this word is the theme of the gospel. There's nobody could summarize any of the evangelists in one word. But I got to thinking, as we're looking forward to revival, a lot of times we think revival is the time when we are anxious to get everybody who's not saved saved, and that's about it. And we think in terms of Joe or Mary or Mr. Smith or Mrs. Jones, that really we know they're not right with the Lord, and so we hope that during this revival we can pray and we can wait before the Lord, and the evangelist will preach a powerful message and they'll get saved. And I think that's perfectly valid. And yet I like to think of revival as a time when God speaks to every last one of us. And we miss it if we don't really come to revival with anticipation of a word that God might speak to me. I'm supposed to be the spiritual leader of this group. That's a staggering task, by the way. I never did feel adequate to it. But I try to stay in shape spiritually. But I need this revival. Personally, I need a word from God. I want God to speak to me. I don't know that I'm going to go to the altar, but I'm going to be open. And if I feel I need to go to the altar for some kind of particular help, don't be surprised to see the pastor go. What I'm trying to say is God will have a word for each of us. And I wish that we could just have our ears tuned to the words that the evangelist might speak. And so I've chosen these four words, and I think they're in your worship folder. The first text is from Matthew, and it's the 11th chapter and the 28th verse. Dave Bowser said his mind was led to this. I don't know if it was subconscious or what. It was in the bulletin. Matthew says, come, but that he read it already as a call to worship this evening. Matthew 11:28. I call this the foundation word. The foundation word is come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's a foundation word that we all have to hear from Christ. And I think myself that in the English language, this translation, there are no more beautiful words anywhere than this invitation of Jesus. Come to me. What a wonderful thing it is to realize that wherever we are, Jesus wants us to come to him. Of course, we think of it in terms of being an invitation to the sinner, as we've already said. And I trust that during this week, Jesus will speak to those, perhaps of us here this evening, those that we are praying for. That if you don't know the Lord, Jesus is inviting you to come. Jesus spoke these words to the men by the sea, to the children. And when men have deep spiritual need, the word is come. And of course, to come means a willingness to leave. When Jesus called come, some people came and some people didn't. Some people went away sorrowful because they had great possessions and they couldn't lay down the things that they had in their hands and follow Jesus. But the disciples left their nets and left their boats. They were sure it was the Master who was calling. And to come means to be willing to leave. And really, we can't go beyond this foundation word until we have come. We can't do more. We can't go farther until we have come. I'm not going to belabor this word this evening. But just to say that to really come to Jesus means utter satisfaction. We find peace with God. He says, come unto me and I will give you rest. The foundation word is come. The life word is found in John, the 15th chapter, the 4th verse. If the foundation word is come, the life word is verse 4, abide. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. There's much, much more to salvation than being soundly converted. It's a wonderful thing to really be saved and know your sins are forgiven. And yet, how often, as I was growing up in the Church of the Nazarene, I thought that being saved was a sort of a thing, an experience. I can remember going home after an evangelist had preached and there was a high spirit on the service, and I had come to the altar maybe as a little kid of about 10 or 12 and felt I'd wandered away somewhere. And I was a Christian, and yet, you'd come because you felt the call, and so I'd pray. And then I'd wake up Monday morning and see if I really felt the same as I did the night before. Didn't realize. Probably it was because I didn't hear. But I wish I'd understood, even as a child, that being a Christian means being brought into a family relationship with God. Being made a part of His life. Of sharing His life in a very real way. We are made members of a family. We're made a living part of Christ's body. We share life, and it's not just enough to come. As important as that is, come and surrender and lay down our rebellion. But the word, the life word, is abide. Think of the privilege of abiding in Jesus. Think of the privilege of living in Jesus' house. Think of the privilege of calling Him brother, calling God Father, and spending our days in this family relationship. As we abide in Christ, we find that He supplies those real needs that we have. We grew up with 4 sons in our home. There were times when there wasn't enough money as far as we were concerned. There were times when we were concerned about different things of life, and yet, I don't believe my kids ever were worried about where the next meal was coming from. I don't think they even knew what inflation was. Kids are like that. They're home. And when we abide in Christ, we don't have to worry about whether God will put our supplies on the table. The word is abide. And I'm sure during this week, the evangelist will be preaching, and God will whisper to you the word, abide. I need to hear that from time to time. When we live in God's house, our battles are fought. We find shelter and spiritual food. As we live in God's house, we're also taught the discipline of the house. Responsibilities, obedience, checks of the Holy Spirit. We learn that we have unique gifts. Each of us has a unique spectrum of gifts that make us important in the family of God. And as we abide in Christ, He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to learn to use our gifts. And so the life word from John 15:4 is abide. The third word I call the power word. And it's found in Luke chapter 24, the last chapter of Luke, and verse 49. The power word is tarry. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. There are some of us this week that are going to need to listen especially to hear the word, the power word from God, the word to tarry. Even while the disciples were rejoicing in the fact that Jesus was risen and rejoicing in the fact that their names were written in heaven, Jesus knew that there was a deeper work for them. And Jesus also knew that His whole plan depended upon the disciples having enough power to go on and carry on His work. And so instead of saying, "Now I'm going to heaven, go and tell everybody," the first thing He said was, "Don't leave town. Stay right here. Find the place where we had communion back there in the upper room. And don't leave town until you receive the promise of the Father." And this power, of course, we know is the fullness of Christ's indwelling Spirit. And it was received in answer to prayer. They prayed for 10 days after Jesus went back to earth, went back to heaven. They prayed until they were in one accord. Sometimes we think that when the Holy Spirit came, He made them of one accord. And I'm sure He did have a unifying effect on them, but it says when He came, they were in one place and in one accord. They prayed until they were decided, "We want this power." They prayed with a heart-searching consecration. I'm sure there were times of confession and times of sharing in that upper room. I can just hear them as some said to Peter, "You know, you're always popping your mouth off and I get mad at you, and I've been convicted about it. I've had wrong attitudes. Would you forgive me? I pop my mouth off too." I can hear some say to James and John, "You remember the day that you asked if you could be at the right hand or the left hand of the Father? Boy, did I get burned at you. And I'm sorry." They prayed, they tarried. They searched their hearts. And finally, their faith reached out at just about the time of the fullness of God's plan. And the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. I believe we're going to have to hear God's word, the power word for tarry. We're going to have to hear it as individuals. And you know, I have a conviction that churches can hear it too. I believe we've been tarrying. We haven't articulated it as such, but we have been saying, "Lord, we want revival. And let's continue to tarry and wait. We must find our upper room and be filled with the Holy Spirit." I'm so glad for the wisdom of our forefathers in the Church of the Nazarene and the Holiness Movement that taught us that there's a crisis experience subsequent to being saved where we can give ourselves wholly to God. I want you to know there's validity in this crisis. There's reality. We have to find our upper room. And then again and again, we need to be freshly infilled. Remember, whenever the need is for power, the word is tarry. Just the opposite of what we think, isn't it? We need a job done here. Let's go and do it. First, let's tarry. The foundation word is come. The life word is abide. The power word is tarry, and the final word is go. From the short gospel, from Mark, the 16th chapter and the 15th verse, the last words of Jesus, and he was assuming now that they would wait. But the final word was, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And there comes a time when we hear the word of the evangelist that comes directly home and says, all right, you've tarried. All right, you're abiding. All right, you've come. Now let's get this thing together. We can't stay in Bible study all of our lives. And I believe in Bible study and self-improvement and learning how. But you know, we can make a spiritual career out of getting ready. And we are supposed to be the church militant. We're not saved just for selfish reasons, so that we can improve ourselves, so that we can be the be-all and the end-all of Christian faith. But the word comes to us, every one of us, go. Go. And I'm excited to think that during this week, some of us may hear the word from God Himself in a personal way, you go. Some of us are young enough here, and I include myself in the group, although I'm not at my age, probably. But some of us are young enough to hear a call to give our lives in full-time service in a special way. There is a call to full-time ministry. I know God wants all of us to be full-time Christians. But I'm concerned when a church doesn't see a number of young people hearing the special call. God still calls to mission work. I'm thankful that our church, as well, is waking up to the fact that you don't have to go 10,000 miles to be a missionary. God may be laying it upon some of our hearts here this evening to, as far as the world is concerned, to throw our lives away in an inner city. The place where we're not particularly wanted. God says, go. And whether or not He calls us to a special task, the thing is, every last one of us has a special sphere of influence. There are people to whom you have to go. If you know Jesus, if you've come to Him, if you have life, there are people that if you don't reach, nobody else will. And so the final word is go. Now we all need all of these words at some time or another. I'm so glad that even if we've been a Christian for 30 years, there are times when we hear this beautiful invitation, come to me. There are times when we need to be reminded, say, Let's abide in me. Need all the help I can get. But the heart of all of these words is Jesus. And let's not forget it. We come to Him. We abide in Him. We tarry for His Spirit. And we go to carry out His will and His word. And I'm sure this week, if we'll listen, if we'll open our hearts, we'll hear these words. Come, abide, tarry.